together and we have had so many good memories together. And even though we were older and our paths kind of would cross and we wouldn't see each other as often, we still kept in touch. And he became ill. Now his family knew this healer and they were really good friends with this healer, and apparently this healer had gone from town to town healing and teaching and giving the glory to a higher power. So his sister Mary sent off a servant to go get this healer to come heal Lazarus. But this healer waited until after Lazarus was dead, after there was no hope. And he came and he still raised him from the dead. In my town, there was this lady. She was an outcast. It was known that if you had a disease or a disorder, that God had cursed you for doing something wrong. No one wanted to be around her, no one wanted to touch her, because she had obviously done something wrong, because she was bleeding for many years. She too had heard of this healer and knew that if she met him, that he would heal her too. One day she was standing there and she saw this healer with a crowd around him walking down the street. And she said, "Oh, if I could just touch his garment, I'll be healed." So she went through the crowd, kind of put her face down, hoping that no one would see who she was, because people would push her around and, "Oh my goodness, who's that?" And she reached out and she got up to this healer and she touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. Now, this healer, another time, I wasn't there, but this healer was in this house and it was full of people. You couldn't fit another person in there. People were standing outside of the house waiting to listen to this amazing man give his sermon or his talk and teach them. Now, his friends had a crippled friend, and so they took their crippled friend on a mat up to the ceiling and cut a hole in the ceiling and lowered him down by rope to Jesus' feet. And Jesus looked at him and said, "Pick up your bed and walk." And he was healed. Now, more recently, a friend of mine had an aunt who was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. For those of you who don't know, stage 4 cancer is pretty scary. It's kind of to the point where chances are you're not going to make it. They prayed for her, hoping that God would heal her, and in her last checkup, she was cancer-free. Now, my best friend, my role model, my brother, was in an accident in 2008. We prayed that God would heal my brother like he had healed Lazarus, like he had healed the bleeding woman, like he had healed my friend's aunt. But nothing was happening. I prayed that just maybe a miracle in my life would be good, but nothing. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." That was the last thing I did when I heard my brother was in an accident. Of course, I'm just going to praise God because I'm going to get patient through my closest friend. So I prayed for patience, that maybe if I had patience, like that lady, that maybe if I searched for him long enough, that he would come and heal my brother. Nothing happened. Why me? I waited, maybe thinking I wasn't patient enough. Thinking that, you know, that verse says be patient. Maybe I should just hold back. Maybe a couple more days and God will show us stuff. Nothing happened. But if God really understood my problem, he would heal my brother. Because if he healed my brother on that spot, it would be a miracle. And no one could ever say there was no God. The neurosurgeon who had done surgery on my brother had just recently denied God. He believed there was a God and had recently decided there was no God because he couldn't see him anywhere, because all he saw was negative. All he saw was trouble. But if God healed my brother, This neurosurgeon even said himself that he would believe there was a God out there because there's nothing else that could have done that. So I kept praying, and hoping that God would heal my brother, that he would just walk out one day. And I honestly believed it, but nothing happened. My brother still lay there with machines breathing for him. He looked like a robot while it breathed for him, while tubes were sticking out every direction, feeding him and keeping him alive, checking his pulse. But nothing happened. Nothing changed. He still lay there, basically dead. We stayed in the hospital for months, and after a couple weeks, my brother started breathing on his own. And you know, that was cool. And nurses would come and go, oh, he's doing good. And I was thinking, if my brother was doing good, we'd be out rock climbing together. If my brother was doing good, we'd be snowboarding. We'd be wakeboarding. We'd be talking. He'd be picking on me like he always does. We'd be walking. We'd be talking about God like we used to. Everything would be normal. This isn't good. He can't even roll over. He can't even open his eyes. He doesn't know what's going on around him. I questioned God. If God was there, he would do something. Because I loved God, why did I deserve this? Was there even a God? You guys, that's not what it's about. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and hope." God's plans are incredible. His plans may not be your plans. His plans may not even benefit you. They may hurt you, but it may help you grow to save your friend's life. It may save someone's life who can't experience that any other way but through you. God's plans are there to help you, even though we may not see it. I don't know why my brother got an accident, except for God is glorified. And in every situation, in every trial, that's what should happen, is God should be glorified through each and every one of us. The hospital people even said during the accident, after, while we were in the hospital, while we'd wait there, sitting, watching my brother do nothing, they would say, "What do you have? Because it's different than what we've ever seen before." And we were like, "We're not doing anything." But they noticed. Through Nick's accident, we showed nurses God and who he was and how incredible he was. It may not go our way, but it may benefit others. Don't look at your cup half empty. Look at your cup half full, and you'll realize it's not only half full, but it's overflowing.